Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in. Welcome to church. We're so glad that you made it. Grab your Bible if you would. We're going to spend some time in the book of Psalms, specifically chapter 23. Hopefully this certain passage of scripture is one that most of you will have memorized. You've at least seen it before. As we're turning there, I want to welcome in all of our online friends, our podcast people. So High Ridge family, come on, let's give them a big warm round of applause. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad that you're here with us. We're believing that God has something powerful in store for us as we dig into His Word. Today, I have a message for you coming from the Lord. I feel like it's going to really help you and encourage you. It's called The Rest and the Roar. Somebody say The Rest and the Roar. This comes from a couple of weeks ago. During our worship time, as many of you do, what I like to do is I like to express all the different kinds of biblical worship. Sometimes I'm clapping my hands. Sometimes I'm singing. Sometimes I'm jumping a little bit. But I'll always find at some point in the service to get down on my knees. And I like to worship the Lord from my knees. It's my way of physically submitting to God. I take the scripture in James chapter 4, verse 7, that tells us to submit to God and then resist the devil. And I know that my job for you on Sunday mornings is to help you learn how to resist the enemy. And in case you didn't know it, you have a very real enemy of your soul. You have an enemy of your destiny. You have an enemy of your family. And if you don't know how to resist him, you're going to be in trouble. The Bible gives us the key to resisting the enemy. It is in submission to God. So what I like to do is I just get down on my knees. And in that moment, as we're worshiping, I close my eyes. I open up my hands to the Lord. I say, God, I completely and totally submit to you. Everything I have, everything I am, all my mind, all my thoughts, I just place them underneath the authority of your words so that when I speak, I can speak your words and not just my own words. I want to help your people. I want to strengthen them. And it's an honor to do this. As I do that, the Lord begins to download into my mind some things that he needs me to talk about. Sometimes I'll give you that word like we did at the end of worship today. The Lord was telling me, choose joy, rejoice, choose joy, choose joy. So as I come up here, I talk about how we need to choose joy. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. If I want to submit to God, if I want to resist the enemy, I have to submit to God. James 4, 7. As I was sitting there in my time of just submitting to the Lord gave me two words, rest and roar. And as he gave me the first word, rest, I was thinking, okay, Lord, you want me to talk to your people about just resting for a moment? He said, no, I want you to rest. Okay, Lord, this is an awkward time because I'm about to go to work. This is the highlight of my week. This is where I preach your word. I'm not resting right now. He said, no, rest. So I take a deep breath and rest. I calm my mind. Okay, I'm resting. Is that enough, Lord? No, rest. So I just sit there and I think, if I rest anymore, I'm going to fall asleep because the worship is good. The presence is good. People are singing. I'm just rest. And then just as the song is over, like, okay, God, I've got to step up. This is my moment. And God spoke to me that second word. He says, now roar, roar. And I get this vision in my mind of this lion that is just roaring with all that he has. And I'm thinking, okay, God, that's what you want in store for me, to roar. But the Lord showed me at that moment that resting and roaring are equally important to him. You can't do one if you're not doing the other. I think many of us have this idea in our mind of how good or how bad that we rest, but there's a very different reason that God puts in his word something completely different about rest. And I want to talk to you about your rest and your roar today. Psalm 23, perhaps the most famous passage of scripture, next to maybe, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son in John 3:16. Psalm 23 is right up there. Many of you have this committed to memory because somewhere in your grandma's house, she has this crocheted on a pillow or it's up on her wall in her kitchen. How many of you, grandma's house has Psalm 23 someplace? Let me see your hands. Yeah. How many of it's in your house? See, not so much, but it's still important. You've seen it somewhere. But I think in our hurry to read this scripture, most of us think, well, I know this scripture so well, we might miss something that is critically important to each of us. Sometimes when we've seen something so much, we forget how important it is. But the word tells us this in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then I want you to notice these next three words. He makes me. He makes me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And then it continues the thought and says, he restores my soul. I want to talk to you today about soul restoration, soul rest, and how God has to force you to do it. And this messes with my theology a little bit. It should mess with yours as well, because I don't like to think of a God that makes me do anything. I want him to lead me. I want him to guide me. I want him to instruct me, but I don't want him to make me. But it says he makes me lie down. Why? Because he's a good father and he knows what's best for me. He knows that I need sleep. I remember as a young father that I would make my children lay down. Lay down. Why? I'm not tired. I don't want to go to bed. You have no idea. You're tired. I know. Daddy knows best. You don't know me. I can stay up. I know that when they're getting cranky, they're tired. When they're getting upset, they're most likely tired. And as a tiny baby, there's just about three things that they cry about. They're hungry, they're tired, and they need to be changed. Adults are the same way, pretty much. I'm hangry, right? Amen. I'm sleepy. I need to be changed from the inside spiritually. You know, I think many of us will mistake rest and sleep and forget that God has something much different in mind when he says, I want you to rest. So God models this in creation. On 6 days he creates. On the seventh day he says, look, I'm going to rest. He looks back at all of creation and says, look, it's good. He takes a moment to look at what he's accomplished. He celebrates the win and he rests. It's not that God needs the rest. He's modeling it for us. I want you to rest. You know, rest is not really rest until it's God's version of rest. So we took a vacation a couple of weeks ago, my family, and my children have never been to New York City, and they'd always heard the stories of how many times I've traveled to New York, and I told you last week, I've been there, I've done it, I've seen it, you can have it. I'm not about it. There's a reason why I live in God's country. I don't want to live with that many people. That is ridiculous. It's too many people. Buildings are too tall. And so, but my children had always wanted to go there and we promised them that we would. And so this was the vacation where we finally make good on that promise. And so we spend all this time in New York City. It hits 100 degrees and you're walking everywhere. And I'm thinking, this is dumb. Now, they may be having the greatest time of their life because their love language is shopping. They love to shop. That does not help me. The only thing that's going through my mind this entire vacation is how much this costs. It's different when you're daddy. And so as we're walking through these 100 degree days and it's Times Square and Statue of Liberty and it's this and it's that, and that's wonderful if you've never seen it, but for me, you can have it. That's not rest for me. Now, the good news is at the very end of our vacation, we spent 2 days in Atlanta, and in the hotel that we were staying had a rooftop pool. There was no one out there, which was wonderful. And I got to just lay out next to the pool, grab a little sunshine and work on my Mexican tan. That's rest to me. Doing stuff that doesn't relax me. Not doing stuff that relaxes me. Some of you may be different, but each person is going to relax in their own way. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit differently because God doesn't just want you to rest your body. He wants you to be able to rest the other parts of you. You are not just body. You are soul and spirit. You are three parts. And until you learn how to rest God's way, there's a reason why you're coming back from vacations more exhausted than when you left. You ever been on break and come back and thought, I need a break from my break. I need a vacation from my vacation. I did not rest. I did a lot of things I wanted to do. I didn't get any rest. We're made up of more than just our bodies. You need to be able to rest your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your spirit knows how to rest. The spirit that God has placed inside of each of you knows how to enter into his rest. Your body has trained itself to sleep. You can push it only so far, then your body says, then that's enough. You're shutting this old thing down. But your soul, your spirit, those are different than your body. We talk about resting your mind, shutting your mind off, resting your will, your drive, what you want, what you're trying to accomplish, what you're doing, and your emotions. You need an emotional break as well. It's extremely important that we understand rest from God's perspective, or you'll never be able to roar when it's time to roar. If you're a note taker, write this down. Number one, we don't know how to rest. We don't know how to rest. And number two, we don't know when to roar. The Bible in Revelation chapter 7 calls Jesus the lion and the lamb. He's someone that knew how to roar when it was time to roar, but you're going to find some great scriptures that tells you Jesus knew when to rest. He knew when to call it a day. He withdrew often, the Bible says. He would spend some time in prayer. He would spend some time resting. As a matter of fact, scripture describes Jesus as a deep sleeper. He slept through a hurricane one time. They had to wake him up. Don't you care that we're drowning? This boat is filling with water. He's like, it's like a waterbed. I'm sleeping good. Jesus knows how to rest, and he knew when to push the gas pedal, when to maximize his potential, when to go for it with all that he had. And it's in his example that we need to look and take a closer look at God's word and to know, how do I rest better, and how do I know when to turn it on and when to push it? The rest and the roar. Understanding the difference between the two, because resting without roaring can become laziness. But roaring without resting is a recipe for burnout. Now, some of us in this room, we have a little spidey sense going off when someone talks about rest, because you feel like the Holy Spirit's pointing his finger at you, like, this message, that's for you. But then some of us as well, when you hear about roaring and reaching your full potential, you're thinking, man, that's me. I don't really know what God's created me to do. I don't know when to use the gifts and the talents. I don't really have that place. I haven't found my purpose, and I'm not able to really make a difference with what God, the gifts that God has given me. This is a church that wants to teach you and show you how to do that. We designed this service around you knowing God. We designed groups about you being able to find freedom, to get rid of your yesterdays, to take the mask off, to start being accountable to someone else, dealing with your issues. And you need to be able to do this so that you can discover your purpose and ultimately to make a difference. Benjamin Franklin said, the two greatest days in a person's life are the day that you're born and the day that you figure out why. Why am I here? So as we're digging into resting and roaring, I want to talk about the importance of rest. Psalm 127 verse 2. Says this, it is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, fearing that you will starve to death, for God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. When you call yourself a child of God, understand that part of walking with the Lord is learning when to rest in him. I want to give you four things about rest that I think will help you today. Number one, resting is a sign of spiritual maturity. Resting is a sign of spiritual maturity. Some of us, we're a lot more immature than we really think we are, because we can't turn it off. Why? Because we don't really trust that God's got it. We don't really trust that he can handle it. We don't come to the realization that he doesn't need my help. There are things that God has called you to do, but until you learn how to rest in him, you'll never be able to accomplish all of it. You have to have rest, and resting means that I trust God with whatever I'm walking through. I can turn it off. I can sleep knowing that he's got it. Yes. A spiritually mature person can rest because they trust God, and an immature person can't. But there's a reason why God puts rest in his top 10. He says, you're going to have this Sabbath. You're going to keep it as holy. That's good. Come on. That means keep it. Honor it. It's a holy thing. It's a sacred. It's a gift from God to you. Now, the problem with the Jews in Jesus' culture is they took this and made it all about them. They made it a rule that was much harder than what God ever intended it to be. And Jesus says, wait a minute, this Sabbath thing, that's made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's not like I'm trying to put more on you. As we were in New York, there was a story that I heard. A man told me that in the Jewish neighborhood, there was a fire that broke out in one person's house, but they were afraid to call the fire department because that's technically considered work on the Sabbath. And because it was the Sabbath, they're like, well, should we call the fire department? Should we not? Should we send a runner down there? Can you technically run on the Sabbath? But they were so afraid of breaking God's law that the house was on fire and they didn't know what to do. So finally, someone woke up the rabbi who happened to be sleeping and said, is it okay if we call the fire department? He's like, well, yes, of course. So the fire department finally comes, but before they get there, three houses had burned down. Because we have a different perspective of what this is supposed to be. Rest is extremely important. Number one, rest is a sign of spiritual maturity. Number two, resistance to rest is refusing to grow. Resistance to rest is refusing to grow. There's a reason why teenagers sleep so much. It's because their body is growing really, really quickly. There's a reason why babies sleep so much, because they're growing really, really quickly. There's a reason why you need a lot of sleep, because you're growing spiritually. Learning to grow and learning to rest are the same thing. Psalm 62, verse 1, it says, truly, my soul finds rest in God. My soul finds rest in God. It says, my salvation comes from him. You can't grow if you're not resting well. Some of us, we want to mature in Christ. We want to continue to grow in him, but we're neglecting rest. And it's important. You need time to power down and to process the information that you've heard. And when you come back to it, you're able to do it even better than when you left. Hopefully this is helping somebody today. Your rest is important. There's a reason why God puts it in the top 10. But here's my issue, and I think some of us will will relate to this. My issue is when God gives me natural breaks, I tend to fill them with other things. I fill them up with things that I really want to do. Things that I had in mind that I thought, well, I'll do this when I get a chance to. When I get around to that, then I'm gonna have this, you know, my Saturdays gonna be filled with all these things I didn't get a chance to do at other times. And then, you know, there's natural breaks that come during the year when the kids are in school or when they're out of school or when spring break comes. And instead of taking the time to rest, we fill it up with other things. Resistance to rest is refusing to grow. You know, there's a reason why you're not gonna find scriptures where God speaks in the middle of the battle. That's a very, very rare thing that God would do that. But God speaks a lot before and after the battle. And I've often wondered, why is it that in the tests of life that God's not speaking? I can't hear him that clearly. Because think about this in school. The teacher doesn't talk during the test. You learn when you're resting. This is how you grow spiritually. You have to have the times of rest. Number three, to give God my best, I will have to embrace rest. And I've tried to make that rhyme so that you will hopefully remember it and carry it to more than just today, but roll it over into Monday and into Tuesday. To give God my best, I have to embrace rest. Some of us just give God whatever's left over, the energy that we have left over. God, this is all I've got, and I'm giving you what I've got. You know, you can't create more time, but you can absolutely create more energy. When you learn to rest well, when you're feeding your body the right things, when you're maximizing the times where you're most creative or the times where you're closest to God, you can create more energy. Can't get back more time. But some of us have created so much energy and given it to all these other things that have not embraced rest. It's critical to your spiritual walk. Ecclesiastes 10 says this in verse 15, only someone too foolish to find his way home would wear himself out with work. You know, you will feel better. You will hear God better. You will operate on a much higher level when you learn how to rest. There's a reason why when Elijah was burnt out and found himself on the edge of the desert going through depression, that God said, sleep, rest. The battle is too much for you. I don't have much voice left, so if it's okay with you guys, I'm going to talk a little quieter if that's okay. I've got to say we got one more service after this, and I'm hoping to at least make them not have to watch a video of this, but... Since I'm here, I'm like, that's a little weird. Like, he's standing right there, but we're having to watch him on video. So I'm gonna bring it down just a little bit, if that's okay. Number four, resisting rest is refusing a gift from Jesus. Jesus says this to his disciples, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. He says, I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I love that he says, I will give you rest. There's many, many scriptures that we could pull out where God says, I give you my rest. His children, I give them rest. Their sleep is peaceful, another scripture says. You ever given somebody a gift and they gave it back to you? Like, yeah, no thanks, I don't need that. Like, rude? Incredibly rude. Refusing a gift, a wonderful gift from Jesus, is incredibly rude. But yet somehow in our minds we think that if we can fill up all the breaks with all the things that we want to do, that somehow that's honoring to God. And it's just not. It's just not. God designed us to rest. You can't roar if you don't rest. Your roar becomes really weak and pathetic. So we got to watch The Lion King last week when it came out. My cousins were in town and they wanted to see the movie. And if you've never seen it, I'm not going to spoil it for you or anything like that. But good Lord, it's been out twice now, 25 years apart. You can go to a movie. It's okay. It's Disney. It's G or PG. You're going to be fine. But the essence of the movie is this young lion cub learning how to find his roar, learning to lead the pride, learning how to maximize his potential and become all that he was designed to be. And it's interesting that at the very beginning, he tries to roar a couple times, and it's just the cutest thing ever because his roar would not be intimidating at all. But yet at the end of the movie, especially if you're watching this in surround sound, ooh, that dude starts roaring when he's finally matured, ready to lead, and it will make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. I'm giving you the best I got. Look at this, and when we talk about roaring, I think one of our issues is not knowing when to roar, or we roar at the wrong times and at the wrong people. But it got me thinking, why do lions even roar? And I was wondering, what's the purpose behind it? And generally, it's four reasons why lions even roar. And the first one is when they sense danger to their family or to their pride. A sense of danger, if there's an enemy, if there's a target, if there's something in the area that doesn't seem right, they'll roar to let out an alarm call. The second reason why they'll roar is they're driving prey towards the younger lions to teach them how to hunt. I didn't know that. But a lion will scare off the prey into the right direction so the younger ones will eat. The third reason why lions will hunt is to just announce their presence to the world. Look at me. It's like their cell phone system. Like, what you up to? Oh, I'm over here. And then, of course, the fourth is to intimidate the enemy. And I think we can learn a few lessons of when to roar from when lions roar. So if you're a note taker, write this down. I can roar when I sense danger. When I sense danger to my family, when I sense spiritual danger to my church, this is the time for me to not be silent, but for me to roar. I stand up for my family. I stand up for my church. I stand against gossip and spiritual warfare. This is the time where Papa Bear comes out. Because it's my job to protect you, and it's your job to protect the church as well. We don't let people speak bad about it. This is my family. And blood is thicker than water. You can speak bad about other people, but this, hey, I can talk bad about them, but not you. This is my family. I remember that when we were growing up, that I would, you know, people could talk trash all they want to, and I could talk trash about my own family, but not you. We're together in this. So number one, when I sense danger. Number two, when I can teach what I've learned. When God gives me an opportunity to share the things that he's given me. Now this is an issue I think a lot of Christians have where they just stay silent because they're not sure if I can really speak out or say anything because I don't know everything. And this is what the enemy has planted in our minds, that we can't because of this or because of that. Well, you can't say anything because you did this last year, or because you used to live like this, or, you know, who do you think you are? You're a hypocrite. And we never roar. We never step up to the plate when it's time to say something, when someone around us is in need and we know exactly what God wants to say to them, but we're not quite sure because we feel disqualified ourselves. You forget that you're a lion. We're made in the image and the essence of God. We forget how great his grace is and what he's covered. You know, you were designed to make a difference. And when someone gives you an opportunity to brag on Jesus, take it. When I can teach what I've learned to someone else, these lions are driving prey towards the younger ones and saying, look, I'm going to show you how to hunt. Lions have a generational mindset. And I think it's time for the church to embrace that mindset as well. It's not just about me and you, but about those that are coming. They need to know what we've learned. One of the great opportunities for you to do that is for you to get into a group. People need your experiences. And the Bible says iron sharpens iron. It makes us better. We start dealing with other people. There's a natural break that we have. Most of our groups have just ended, and some will begin to start here the next few weeks. I want to encourage you, it's time for some of you to roar. Get in a group. Let us show you how. We need your stories. We need the things that God has shown you. And you're going to need things that other people in that group have as well. Yep. It makes us better. Come on. So we've talked about when we sense danger, when we could teach what we've learned. This comes from 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. He says this, what we have seen and what we've heard, or in other words, what I've learned, what I've experienced when I walked with Jesus, he says, we proclaim to you also. Which means I'm willing to step up to the plate and roar. I'm telling you, I'm going to proclaim what I saw when I was walking with Jesus. You need this. And he says, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Or he's saying, this is my purpose. This is what God's created me to do. I spent time with Jesus and I'm here to tell you what I learned. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. I'm not Jesus. But I spent time with him, and I'm telling you, I learned some things that will help you. And he says, this makes my joy complete. This fulfills me. This is how I make a difference. And I really feel strongly from the Holy Spirit today to encourage you to not keep silent when it's time for you to roar. You see, the problem that we have in our minds is we're roaring at the wrong times and to the wrong people. Number three, when I can brag on Jesus, when I can release some praise, when I get a chance to tell somebody how good God's been to me, when I get a chance to share my story, when I get a chance to tell somebody where he brought me from, oh, that's a chance to roar. You have a testimony, and it belongs to you. There's no other testimony just like yours. And where God's brought you from will help somebody somewhere. I wonder, when's the last time that you used it? When's the last time that you shared your faith with somebody else? You know, the majority of Christians will die without ever having shared their story. But the Bible tells us so clearly in Revelations that we overcome by not just what Christ did for us, the blood of the Lamb, but the word of our testimony. There's a twofold part of us being able to overcome the works of the enemy. What Jesus did for us and proclaiming it to someone else, that he can do it for you too. Our city needs the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it comes when you step up to the plate and roar using what God has done for you. We're going to finish with this today. Number four, I can roar when the enemy needs to back off. When the enemy needs to back off, I can use my roar to intimidate the enemy. Notice this, that the Lord tells us, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Now, let me just make sure that something is very, very clear before we move on any further. Your enemy is not your spouse. And you choosing to roar at the wrong person is using your gifts unwisely. Your enemy is not your mother-in-law. I know you thought so. Your enemy is not your children. Your enemy is not your boss. I'm roaring at my boss. That's not what Jesus is asking you to do. I want to bring your attention to a couple of scriptures, and we'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. When he says we roar, he says we do this. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Well, that sounds great. Anyone that has a different opinion about the goodness of God. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But notice the second part of the scripture. And take every thought captive. One version says to make it obedience to Christ. That battlefield is in your mind. Sometimes the enemy that you need to be roaring at is right here. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. It says, for though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. God has placed his gift, his ability inside of you to demolish the strongholds that have kept you from ever reaching your full potential. And some of those are your inability and refusing to rest. But I want to invite you today to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to confront the part of you that makes you think that you've got to do it all. that you can't trust God with your issues, I want to invite you to rest today. Mind, will, and emotions. And for some others in this place, it's been a long time since you've roared. It's been a long time since you really worshiped, since you've really prayed, since you've really praised Him with all that you have. It's been a long time since you told the enemy, you need to back off and leave my family alone. There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he didn't put up with this any longer. It's time for some of us to learn how to roar. It's time for some of us to start investing into some other people that need your experiences. It's time for you to stop sitting on the sidelines, but to become who God has always intended for you to be. You have a purpose. Yes, you do. You have a purpose, and it's for more than just paying bills on this planet and waiting around to die collecting a few toys. That is not your purpose. God has a very real purpose in store for each and every one of you, and until you grasp that, life never makes sense. It never makes sense. Oh, but our soul can find rest in Him, and rest comes when we have His purpose. When we know what we're called to do. We can leave Him all the things that we didn't get done today, and we can rest. And we can maximize our potential and become all that He's called us to be whenever it's time. For some of us, it's time for you to rest. And for some of us, it's time for you to roar. Which side do you fall on? Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked Him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from Him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from Him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God Himself is reaching down His hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ, but you've walked away from Him and He knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask You to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. HighRidgeLV.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to HighRidgeLV.com/give if you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.